Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe, our podcast on a regular basis here on Tuesday evenings here in the United States. And we want to thank everybody for our international audience. We've got all people from just all over the world checking us out after hours with being on demand. And we just want to thank you for checking it out. All your comments and ideas are just so appreciated. So really want to thank you for that. Anybody want to jump into the cafe with us, into the chat room? That number is going to be 646-727-3206, and we will have the chat room open as well if you want to go ahead and get on that. We've got a couple of our regular lovely ladies scooting up to the table tonight. Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am just beautiful, thank you.
Well, of course you are. We know that about you. I'm glad you're doing so beautifully well. And Miss Amy, how are you tonight?
I don't know. I'm changing a lot.
All right.
I'm not sure how.
Oh, that's a good segue. That's a really good segue. And I am Robin McDevitt, your regular host here at the cafe. Yeah, because tonight our show is called Pope Francis, The Powerful Tools of Compassion. But we're really the undertitle with that would be being a changing agent and having a powerful tool for compassion. And, you know, I really believe that Pope Francis, who's to say I'm sure there's people who say he wasn't, but he is such a change agent. And it's so exciting to see all the different things that are occurring. Gosh, it's amazing what can happen in a week. It really is, just all the different wonderful things and just the moving and changing and things like that. So just right off the bat, when I know that Gloria has some stuff about, being a change agent, but what are your impressions about just the visit from Pope Francis, Amy?
I think it's really exciting. Pope Francis, this is the first time there's been a Pope Francis. And the fact that he took on that name and that big, it's a big name, it's a big story to live up to. And I think that took a lot of courage, which I think is a hallmark of anybody who's willing to be a change agent. And he is a man who stands for tradition while honoring others who want to do things in their way and not changing what he believes, but how he supports and loves them. I just think it's really, really amazing. And I've been watching a lot of stuff, like a lot of people have in lots of different arenas about him. Something that came up several times is several people have said, called him a light of faith in a faithless world. And I think if we ever needed somebody to come forward and hold in light, hold in faith for us, now is a good time. And I think anytime somebody does that, it's a bit controversial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. So how about you, Gloria? Have you been able to see some of the different activities and things and just some of the coverage that we've been able to be able to check out with the Pope coming to visit the United States?
From what I've heard regarding what the Pope is espousing, I am so just unbelievably relieved. Because I have been waiting for the church to step up to the times and what is more realistic in what is happening in this day and age. Because, he's looking at bringing people back into the church. He's accepting people that in past times they have been discommunicated? I've forgotten the phrase. But they're like persona non grata. And to go out with the message of forgiveness, which is what the church, I believe, is supposed to be about in the first place, I really see that as being a strong lead. And I'm very pleased. And I have to say I'm a little, I feel a little adrift because is he a new pope? He doesn't seem like the pope that took over from John Paul. Is he the person who was elected after Pope John Paul?
Yeah, he was.
Then I have to say that I'm even doubly surprised, because I really didn't get a sense of that when he took office, and I was thinking it was a completely different pope. So I'm very pleased, and I know that that just means everything to everybody, but I'm really pleased.
Well, the one thing that I'm delighted about with Pope Francis is, just like Amy was saying, is really taking on the whole energy and just presence of, you know, St. Francis. Coming from loving the earth and, you know, all the animals, and really coming from just a very wide vision of how we could be moving forward in the world. And you look at his conversation that he had at the United Nations, and then their 2020 plan that they want to be putting into effect of just no longer having extreme poverty in the world, being able to move everyone forward with this just this new level of compassion. And then that's the reason why we wanted to bring that into the conversation tonight about the powerful tool of compassion. And there's so much to talk about when it comes to looking at that. And just there, one thing I was really happy to see is I'm just doing a little bit of research to see what was out there. There's all kinds of wonderful practices and benefits from really working from the practice of being in compassion. It's a day-to-day thing, a moment-to-moment mindfulness that we can bring into our lives, and it's very, very easy to do, but again, it's just like anything else, it's a practice and the benefits of that. So we'll kind of talk about that a little bit later in the show, but Gloria, I'd love for you to go ahead and just talk about, you know, being a change agent and some of the things that you discovered being able to get ready for the show tonight. What were some of the things that you thought were just really just neat to make sure that we had a part of the program?
Well, you know, I also wanted to add very quickly that I may not have told you, but St. Francis was actually the second hero in my life after the Count of Monte Cristo.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
I encountered St. Francis when I was working at St. Francis Hospital in Illinois, and mm-hmm. he has a statue with all of the birds and the animals and things that are coming to him, and it was a Catholic hospital that I was working in, and I read about him, and I learned about him at that time, and I just adore St. Francis. So I'm really pleased to see that the name that the Pope chose is in keeping with how I perceive St. Francis as well. So,
great.
So
great.
Looking at, you know, the things that I had discovered as I was researching for, you know, we were talking about being a compassionate agent of change. And mm-hmm. I know that, you know, part of our conversation had been about how I believe that sometimes compassion, you know, that saying about you have to be cruel to be kind, you don't have to do it with malice. But sometimes you just have to speak truth to actually be compassionate to someone. And it may pull them up short a little bit, but I really believe that, you know, there are many different kinds of compassion. And so when I was looking, I actually was kind of surprised, and it, I don't know why, but it kind of took me off guard because I was thinking of it from a different perspective. But I started seeing things about business, change agents in business. And I don't know which way you want to talk about that.
Well, Lillette, can I dive in here?
No, please.
And for me, I worked for the federal government for 20 years as a negotiator, but I was also trained as a total quality management trainer and facilitator. And what we did as facilitators was help people to look at systems and processes and see how we could improve them. And I was talking with a friend of mine the other day. There was a book, geez, many years ago, 15 plus years ago, maybe 20, it was called the Change Agent Guide. And it's all, I think any movement, any real change in the world is done by people who are functioning as change agents. And the workplace is just one place to do that. And being an effective change agent, you have to look at things honestly, and you have to say what's working, what isn't working. And what I love about Pope Francis, I love a lot of things about him, but the fact that he people are calling him, saying that he's a revolutionary and that he's being radical, and it's not the truth. He is really sticking to the roots of Catholicism, and he's doing it from a way of being unconditional love and being compassion. And that doesn't, they're not, he's not changing any doctrine. He's still saying that they're not condoning sexual orientation or saying that women now are going to be priests or bishops. What he's saying is everybody accepting each other and people finding their way. And again, the interesting thing about women is that he's still saying that that priests and bishops should be men, and that women hold their own special place in the church. And I think it's really interesting. It's about us not fighting each other, but finding ways to make sense out of where is our place. And where we talked about last week or in the last few weeks about finding your own voice. And I think he also talks about, you know, that finding the church in the messiness of your life and allowing that your voice out in the streets of where is your ministry, if you want to look at it that way. Where do you want to take your part of the church? And then there are people doing it in terms of being rap singers and finding whatever way works for them. And I guess what really came clear to me looking at this in from many different perspectives in terms of the Pope, for sure, was finding your voice and putting 2 feet to it into action towards making that happen without having to fight other people. And as a change agent, stands in the truth without arguing, justifying, and defending, which is a really delicate dance to be in.
Yeah, I was looking at this different things about compassion, and they have 3 or 4 different quotes in the articles that we're going to have listed as a part of the show for people to go and check out with. And one of them was talking about our own brain, our own heart is our temple, and the philosophy of kindness. And just coming from what Amy was just sharing about, we had just done our show of, our last show was 271, that was from your head to your heart. And it was such a great segue for what we're talking about tonight when it comes to compassion, because it's like just what you're saying, we all have our gifts, we all have the things that we're concerned about and want to be making a positive impact in the world, and being able to be all those change agents in the areas that we really can care about, we're in those gifted areas that we can make those changes. So I think that's just something else that that Pope Francis is really helping everybody to understand, that, we as a whole, and that's one thing that compassion is really important to, which is the different elements of the different stages and awarenesses of compassion, is the oneness of our humanity and how we all as a whole, just like a body, we've got all the different parts that make us who we are, all those wonderful dynamics of everybody being able to come together in our oneness can really be those, change agents. And I'm going to be a joy agent. That's what my title's going to be.
Can
be a joy agent.
You are that, right?
I'm a joy agent.
You are that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And, but just like everything else, it's those practices that we really can put into that. So what do you think about just kind of going a little bit further into the joy agent thing or the compassion agent or the change agent, Amy, or having it be what Pope Francis was really wanting to stir up, and just, it's almost a confirmation to me of him coming here and having the speeches and just the love and just wonderfulness that he was just sharing with, just wanting to share himself with. He just loved people. Love people being out and being able to interact with everybody. At one point I didn't know it, but I found out that he had been a high school teacher. And he really loved to be interacting with the youth and really understanding them in a way. And I think that's just so wonderful for him to be really supporting that in just to be a catalyst for really helping young people to feel like they can make a difference and be those agents for change as well. So I just wanted to have anything else that you wanted to share about that.
Well, and observing him is really amazing, because he is really focused on the change that he wants to affect. He wants to bring the church back together, and he wants a lot of it. When he stepped out to become the Pope, what he did was he asked for them to pray for him, be able to lead them in a way that really served God. And his humility is amazing.
and to me that he really is a servant leader. And mm-hmm. that really takes compassion, I think, to come from that place. And mm-hmm. he, you know, it really is like seeing what is it I want to accomplish. He wants to level the playing field in terms of how the poverty issue and global warming and the environment, and is not getting trapped up in other side issues, but loving and supporting others because they are children of God, not getting caught mm-hmm. up in the different parts of it. And you look at him when he was a priest, and his country was very war-torn, a lot of drug stuff going on, and he had to really stand in a really strong place to keep a lot of people safe and walk a really tight line. And mm-hmm. being compassionate for all sides of it and being loving for all sides of it, which takes so much courage. So I think he's really made a difference in giving people a light of what is it that I'm really here to accomplish? How do I use my voice? How do I be God's hands and eyes and heart on the planet and make a difference? I think the most profound thing he's doing is being compassion, not talking mm-hmm. about it, being it. And that's a model we haven't had for a long time. And he's really talking about, there was a lot of problem with priests and, you know, abuse of children, let's be honest. And mm-hmm. he has gone to people who were abused by priests and talked to them and has created coalitions to make sure it doesn't happen again, to make sure that healing has happened. And he's had the courage to say, we need to forgive on all sides of the house, and we need to put things in place to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look back in his history too, I mean, with his past when he was, you know, just being a pastor or, you know, a monk, I don't remember
priest.
His title.
Well, he's a Jesuit priest. He called himself a Jesuit priest.
Right. So being a priest, you know, when he was working in his country with all the drug situations that he had, I mean, their focus was basically just making sure there was health care and food for people and not going and really just witnessing with the Bible and all that. Just like being that love, being that compassion, being that provider for just basic care for people could feel safe. Just like you're saying, that hard line of holding compassion and safety for people. And he's still doing it. He's just doing it on a larger, you know, stage, as it were.
He's igniting not only the priests and the bishops and the hierarchy, but he's also supporting and igniting members of the church and people of all faiths. So he's really focusing on not just the dogma of the Catholic Church, but the heart of the church. What are we really here to do? But not ignoring the dogma either. He's
right.
not changing the dogma. He's not focused on it. It's still important, but the good works is what's important.
Yeah, you know, and going back to the good works, you know, I was looking at a couple of different TED Talks about compassion and really brought it. One in particular was Karen Armstrong, and it was a TED Talk back in 2008 about in Monterey, where she was talking about wanting to create a charter of compassion. And if you go to thechartercompassion.org, since 2008, she's been very active in getting that out on a very global level, and it's exciting to see her being a change agent of just really looking at just religion in general and coming from, you know, all of us can come from a new place of just having conscious compassion and really working from being more open to just everyone having, you know, what works for them. And it's not even a matter of, you know, being able to be just being okay with what other people do, but really admiring that and appreciating that everyone just has a passion for what they believe in, especially when it's coming from the golden rule of really wanting to treat everybody the way we want to be treated, having the freedom and having the way of being able to express themselves that really works for each person and really coming from that open-hearted way. And that's the first step when it comes to compassion, is really coming from just starting your day with an open-heart practice. And we talked about that a little last week, again, with our show with From the Head to the Heart, that was TC 271. where there's just different practices with that. So, Lori, do you have any kind of a good exercise that would be helping people to just come from an open-hearted practice, say, first thing in the morning? Have you have that, you know, kind of step into that for actually giving some something for people to be able to work with that?
Okay, what I heard is that you're looking for an exercise to practice in the morning to do what now?
For open-hearted practice, so just be coming from an open-hearted and compassionate with ourselves and others as we start our day.
You ask me this?
Okay. Well, Amy, would you like to do something?
Yeah, absolutely. So the heart of compassion is really seeing everybody with love. You know, the namaste means the God in me sees the God in you. And, you know, don't throw the first stone. If you live in a glass house, don't throw stones. Everybody has done things that they feel badly about or they regret. So it's for compassion is really just saying, honoring that everybody is fighting a great battle, all of us. And so for me, one of the things that I do in the morning is and practice kindness meditation and being and the for me and I think for a lot of people the place that we're the least compassionate is with ourselves. And so what I do is I spend time in the morning being kind to myself, being loving to myself, and as I'm doing that, and then once I feel comfortable in that, then I extend it. A good thing to do is to allow somebody you've had a conflict with recently. So let's say tomorrow morning. So you're sitting and you're doing the loving kindness meditation, and you're being you're focusing on forgiving yourself for things you might have been, you know, be upset with yourself about. And then what you'd want to do is allow somebody in your mind's eye that you've had conflict with. And now that you're in this fullness of compassion for yourself, can you give them some compassion? And if you can't, that's okay. I would ask that maybe you say, would I be willing to be open to being compassionate with them later if I can't do it now? So just whatever little baby step you can take. And then, you know, an easy one hopefully would be so compassion to yourself, then people that you love. And then you may be focusing on people that you don't know, or you know, I have friends that they extend this loving kindness to their city, to their country, to their planet. So really, and it doesn't have to take a lot of time. There's certainly lots of, you can go to YouTube and find meditations that you can do this with, or you can just be in a nice quiet space where you're doing loving kindness. I think one of the most important things you can do is to be kind and loving to yourself, and then take it, how can I take that into the world today, especially with somebody that I'm having a conflict with.
I know for me, when it comes to personal compassion is just starting the day, you know, I love who I am, and I love who I am becoming. And allow yourself to just kind of sit with that when you wake up in the morning, and just being able to come from a place of gratitude and you know, thinking about just some basic things in life that you can be appreciating about yourself, and then how you're going to be able to interact and be in a place of kindness with other people.
Along with that line, I don't do it in the morning, but I did a practice for a while that was more of a walking meditation, you might want to call it. I would be out in public in, you know, say, for example, I had gone to the grocery store and I was in the parking lot and unloading groceries into my car. And I looked very consciously at the people who were around me. And I started to put myself energetically in their position and to look at them and to see the things about them that I could see externally that I knew existed in me. And so I would look inwards to find them in me and then me in them.
Yeah, that's
and
a really
so then
wonderful
I was able to develop more compassion for both of us that way.
Yeah, and it really helps you to, just like I was saying, come into that oneness with everyone and knowing that, you know, I am that and they are me when it comes to that stuff. So It can work out really well with that too. It was reminding of the four agreements when I was looking at some of the stuff too with what's his name? What's the guy's name with the four agreements, Amy? Remember?
I do, but I'm slipping my mind too. Gosh.
Blocking you.
Yeah, the four agreements, yeah.
Well, one of the agreements is I don't take anything personally, you know, and that's a wonderful way of being, you know, and not taking it personally. I also open myself up to being able to have everything, you know, on a larger vision and a larger way of being able to expand myself when it comes to things. So it's kind of coming from that whole, you know, because one of the practices is coming from kindness. And kindness was, you know, would I be, you know, open to letting somebody, you know, pull in front of me in traffic, you know, and could I have that person come in front of me when I'm, you know, like Gloria was saying, and I'm checking out at the grocery store and, you know, they have less items than me. Would I be willing to just let people come in front of me? And just, you know, those little small, and even just smiling at someone. We've talked about that on the show before, about, you know, just the power of kindness. And the power of kindness really is just an element of compassion and really helping from, you know, moving from an empathy of, you know, being able to notice that someone is having pain or suffering in their life and being able to imagine ourselves in that in any way that we can. And then moving it into a compassionate place where we're non-judging and just realizing that, you know, someone is going through something, you know, and how can I be of help to them? And being able to, you know, treat others the way I would want to be treated during those circumstances. If I am having a difficult time, how would I treat another, knowing on whatever level what that could be like for me to be experiencing those things. So it's just a daily practice.
So it's Don Miguel Ruiz.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's his work. And I think the first part was, so if you want an assignment to get ready to live in compassion, like you're saying, I would spend some time looking at how do I judge others? And just spend time noticing that you are and asking yourself, what is that about for you?
Yeah. And I would think even being able, like Gloria was suggesting, relating that back to yourself. And seeing
everything's always with you. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and one of the things... When you were talking about just saying something kind, one of the other things that, you know, if you're standing in line or someone bumps into you and they say, oh, excuse me, and it's more of an apology, I say, no, take it back. I'm just so happy I got an opportunity to meet you. Hello. And
yeah.
it throws people off base. And, you know, people will offer to have me, you know, get in front of them in line at the grocery store. And more often than not, I will say, no, thank you so much. Now I have an opportunity to just slow down and we can have a conversation. And then I chat with them until it's their turn. And it's such a lovely experience.
Yeah, it is a very, very one for that. So before we end the show, I had promised that we were going to talk about some of the physical benefits of practicing compassion. And these are just things I didn't know that I thought were really great with the show. And one of them is that you actually produce 100% more of your DHEA, which is the hormone that can counteract your aging. You actually become younger when you're practicing compassion. So I thought that was really cool. You know, you're looking younger because you're practicing that stuff. And then you have 23 less creation of cortisone, which is your stress hormone. So it actually helps to de-stress and be more in a place of ease and peace with yourself and others when you're practicing compassion. And it's been scientifically proven that those are different things that have been proven with that. On a neurological level, you have a different way of integration when you're coming from compassion. It helps you to process information that you're getting with yourself and with others. And it also immobilizes your immune system, so you're actually stronger with your immune system. You have more resilience, both in your mental and your physical capabilities when you're practicing compassion. So really interesting about how the benefits from a mental level and a spiritual level move into the physical body, which makes perfect sense if you know about being able to have the practices of wellness and how that works, you know, from spirit into the mental and into the body. It's just that much more, and it's great on a scientific level. We're like, yeah, it's really true. You really do benefit from the tools of compassion, because it just works, and, you know, as within, so without, you know, as above, so below. It just works on all those different ways. So thank you, ladies. for celebrating Francis, Mr. Pope Francis, any last words or thoughts about that you could think of for wanting to share about him or just compassion in general?
I think just be open to, you know, what is he teaching us, and he let him be a mentor to us, and how can we follow his lead, not necessarily his doctrine, but his lead in compassion.
I think Amy said it very well.
Okay. And we want to thank you all for joining us here at the cafe. We really encourage, we'd love you for you to rate us and let us know how we're doing on the show. And if you'd like to go ahead and check out our store, we've got store information and things like that. And a lot of different wonderful things will be added onto the show tonight, too. So we want to thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time here at the Transformation Break Cafe. Thanks for being a positive agent for change. I'll look for you next time.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.